If no, the only reason why it would be tainted is because Andy wants to say the opposite of what I say.
I don't always want to be the opposite of you.
Wanted to say taint, but that's
because of the font. Who upside down looks like ohm?
I'm big into electronics. Because if I set it down here, it'll rattle a bunch on the table, and I want to be able to open them without having to rattle a bunch on the table.
That's how we knew we were at a Wisconsin wedding. So they had like a whole bunch of spotted cow at the rehearsal dinner, actually. They just had, you know, a couple dozen spotted cows for everybody to drink, and they didn't bother putting out a bottle opener. They just put like 30 spotted cows on the table, and there was no issue
We talked about that at Muse, where I brought down three bottles of two women, and there was like a guy from Minnesota and then a guy from Colorado sitting there, and I was just like, here's all the beer I've brought for people, and they were just like, opener, and I'm just like out of my keys, pop.
I find it concerning that both you and I have bottle openers on our keys.
I have two bottle openers on me right now.
On your keys?
No, not on my keys. I could. I used to have three bottle openers because one of them was the keys. But no, my wallet, I have a bottle opener in it, and then my multi-tool that I always carry has a bottle opener.
Oh.
Bottle opener.
Gotcha.
I don't think you can go anywhere in Wisconsin and have have trouble opening a bottle. That's not a twisty.
It's like that thing about how you're never more than 2 feet away from a spider,
except
with bottle openers.
Yeah.
Because we're all alcoholics.
Well, alcoholic is a relative term.
I don't think we are. Like I like the way Lewis Black said, like, Wisconsin, we're professional drinkers.
Yeah, I do like that.
We're
like
also athletes. Prepared for when there's no clean water to drink.
Some of us are not as professional as we'd like to think we are.
God, this advertising thing needs to go away so I can see the chat.
Bud Light All-Stars.
Yeah. There's no spot on the window here to make it go away.
You mean the America All-Stars?
No, that's Budweiser, sir. Bud Light is still Bud Light.
Okay.
Budweiser is America.
I missed the Bud Bowl.
Yeah. What? You know about that, right?
No.
That Budweiser for like 6 months before the election is going to be calling itself America.
Okay.
Yep. In fact, it's relabeled. It basically has
Trump going to make it better.
Probably.
I don't think a fairy godmother could make that stuff taste better, to be honest.
If it's the Trump version of making it better, you just wouldn't be allowed to drink it if you weren't white.
Put a wall around it.
Yeah.
Now, I know you like to be the opposite of me.
Budweiser is fucking gross.
So we're on opposite ends of the table. If I had a choice of which beer I would drink, either Miller or Budweiser, I would be drinking Budweiser.
I don't understand that. Like, Budweiser tells you straight up where their beer comes from because they have Clydesdales as their spokespeople or spokesanimals.
Is that a urine joke?
It is. It's piss. It's piss in a can. It's gross. Yeah. Budweiser is nasty.
If I had to drink Budweiser or Miller, I wouldn't. That's my vote.
Gun to head, Nathan. Gun to head. Which one? You just take the short way out?
You're yeah.
Like, nothing.
Bam. No regrets.
No regrets.
When I was at Muse, somebody offered me, I guess it's some just shit beer that I've never had before called Newcastle something.
Newcastle.
And the problem was is that there must have been something weird about Iowa's fridges, but they like every beer that I drank there tastes like Freon. So like I couldn't tell if the beer was like bad or okay, or if I was really just slowly poisoning myself.
Couldn't it be all?
It probably actually is.
You're saying Newcastle is putting Freon into their beer.
Well, no.
How do you know what Freon tastes like?
It's you smell it, and the smell is like the taste a little
sure.
bit.
Sure. Maybe it's like coffee, where it smells really good, but then it tastes terrible. Because like coffee doesn't taste how it smells.
No, well, yeah.
It probably does.
I love the smell of coffee, and I would drink Miller and Bud before I would drink coffee.
Coffee tastes like burnt the way wood chips. Smells, but no. Depending on how it's like brewed or steeped, like whatever you're doing with the coffee makes it really bitter.
Yeah,
so it's terrible. When you can brew it to get rid of the bitterness, it tastes a lot like how it smells.
No.
Promise.
I will just sit in a Gloria Jean's coffee shop inhaling and be happy and never drink a drop of that coffee. Terrible, rancid
so
garbage.
So good.
The only thing worse than coffee is tea.
See, thing is, though, for me, I'm like a Clarence's character from, or not Clarence's character, the character Clarence from True Romance, is I'm not happy until the spoon stands straight up, because I have to have so much sugar, so much creamer. It just basically, I have to replace all the bad taste of coffee with milk and sugar.
I think the only way I could drink coffee would be out of necessity, and that moment has never happened.
You guys are all fucking crazy. I feel like the only adult in the room.
Whatever.
But that's probably true. I mean,
it was strange how, like, my parents when I was growing up were like, you can never have coffee because that's for grown-ups, but, like, they'd hand me a soda, no problem.
Yeah, and it's worse for you.
No, it was fine.
It's literally the same caffeine content with less sugar.
My baby teeth needed to come out sometime, right?
Might as well rot out. Yeah.
That's my free pass. I can floss with Twizzlers.
Like, I was looking for a comic I read that I liked, which is because it's topical. Which is, I like my coffee like I like life in general. Once thrilling, but now a mundane daily ritual that has me questioning what I ever found enjoyable about it to begin with.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Crippled System, episode 160.
160! Boom. Prime number.
No.
No, it's not.
You don't even need to think about that one.
No.
It's going to be a while before you get to another one.
Yeah. 161.
Well, maybe a couple hours until the next one. I mean,
I haven't checked that one yet. I think it's prime, though.
I don't think so.
Well, it's not divisible by 13. It's not divisible by 12. It's not divisible by any even number, obviously. It's not divisible by 13 or 11 or 9.
It actually is divisible
by
7.
Yeah, 23. Yep. 7 times 23. But it's the factor of 2 primes. The factor of 2 primes. High five. Yes, she almost didn't.
She could have left you hanging, bruh. So what do we have for announcements?
Leaks.
We have some announcements. We have coming up here. I'm trying to decide, and we should probably take a poll sometime, if we're going to allow Nathan to play Battle Boars and Spider Boars.
When is it?
The 28th.
So this coming Saturday is the
nothing,
right? No, but date-wise, this coming Saturday is. So it's not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. I do have that. That's my next day off, so I can make it.
This coming Saturday, there's like a 35-point steamroller in at this place at this thing called MeepleCon. It's like somewhere up north by like Stevens Point or something. Meeple Stock, I think, is what it's called.
You know a meeple.
So they're putting a war machine thing out there. I think I think the Stevens Point folks are running it. But
we could go there and steal their toys.
We could.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, where's my third place coin, bitch?
I was gonna go to Baraboo.
Where's my first place coin?
Well, your first place coin is sitting with all your Shadows of Brimstone stuff, which I needed to go get, but some timing things just didn't work.
Wait, you have his coin, but not mine?
No, they're in the same place. It's in Baraboo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and my pen. I want my pin.
What pin? Everybody wants their company pin. Of iron pins, too. Pin. What am I made out of, fucking pins?
If I were saying pen, I would say pen.
Well, it could have been a...
No.
It could have been.
No.
I don't know how well you enunciate.
I enunciate fairly well. I've got the English noun.
The English noun?
Oh, my God. Say noun?
I fucking hate you guys.
Which English noun?
So I think also on June 4th, Baraboo has switched from the 75.2 caster event to an escalation style event to better accommodate our locals. So that's how that's going to work.
Style, as in it's going to be
go 15 points and then end at a 75.
When were you going to tell people this?
John just figured it out today because John Acker is going to be running the tournament instead of me.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting watching him bumble through that.
But this isn't replacing your two caster.
It is replacing it.
You son of a bitch.
I know, I'm sorry.
I needed two other Mountain Kings.
Well, we're
still doing it in Mark III, I guess.
The last
my 14 Vanguard list is looking alive and well in Mark III.
I don't even know who, like, to better cater who.
Our local people. Like, whom? I don't think that they... The locals, a lot of them are fairly, like, it's not that they're new to the game, they're new-ish, but they're having a hard time finding their bearings. So trying to work with the complexity of two casters and having to respond to somebody who knows what they're doing with two casters is probably going to be a little bit demoralizing.
So you think escalation will help?
I think demoralizing, Brian.
I think escalation really disappointed in you. I think escalation will be just fine for them. It'll give them a taste of the 75-point thing. Like, here's a little bit bigger of a game for those. Because a lot of them are like 40K switchovers, so they can play a little bit larger of a game.
My mind combined both of those events. I was thinking you're going to go 50,
an escalation 15, at two 25, casters. 25,
35, 50, two casters.
Yeah. No.
Or just two casters
the whole way through. From 15 all the way to 75.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Gives you a pretty good battle group.
Yeah.
It's a good 15-point game.
It'd be super great. So those are the. I know that lacrosse is going to run one more event. It's going to be a 50-point steamroller. It's just that the date is TBA at the moment. I'd ask them to not have it on the Baraboo event because I want to go there and play.
Neato.
Yep. So I think that rounds out all the announcements up until lock and load, really. Also, MuseCon was awesome.
I am going to lock and load. And somebody here has to learn how to run the stuff so they can record on the 12th once all the stuff gets released.
Ooh, I won't be in this state.
Can we just call you and leave the podcast on a voicemail?
No, that doesn't work that way.
So somebody not in this room needs to learn it.
Yeah. No, Brian can do it, but no,
yeah, I can rock it solo.
I'll bring the
D team from Baraboo with me. Maybe we might even be able to get Johnny from Manitowoc.
I'm going to be in Seattle.
Why?
I have friends in Seattle.
Why? So you're going to Lock and Load?
I am not going to Lock and Load.
Why would you go to Seattle that weekend and not go to Lock and Load?
Well, we were planning on going to Lock and Load.
Yeah.
And then Brian couldn't.
So fuck.
It's not that I couldn't. It's just that I decided to. You wanted to go hang out with your friends.
I did. We were. And I thought it would be weird for me to
be
there
and want to be like, "Hey, friends, this is the first time I've met you. Well, at least the male half of it. Fuck you. I'm going to play War Machine with people.
Take them with you.
Anticipating that.
Yeah, it's win-win. You get to go to Lock and Load. They get to hang out with her. I guess everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, what we were gonna do is we're gonna take like. The whole weekend off plus part of the week and split it, but that ended up being like 500 hours of PTO that
I think it was just the money for both of us to go was a little bit over the top. We had tried to figure out how we would drive out there.
A week is.
Oh, you don't want to drive out there.
It would have been like a week and a half.
Well, we were 500 hours.
Well,
I've got 2 weeks. I'm taking that's 80 hours.
32, and then it would be like another 5 days. So.
500 hours would be 40 like
40 hours.
That's like I'm a couple exaggerating. Months.
Like yeah. I am exaggerating, obviously.
Do you know what exaggerate is?
Wait, you're enunciating?
Oh my god.
Because yeah, my trip
just stayed downstairs.
Yeah, you should have.
My trip is going from like Wednesday the 8th until Wednesday the 22nd. That's only 10 hours off.
I'm leaving that same Wednesday.
Or 10 days off.
Yeah, I have a hard time using up my PTO because I always do things like Friday through Monday and it uses up 0 hours of PTO. And I'm like, oh, right. That didn't work.
I don't have a hard time using my PTO, but yeah. That's because we always take like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Monday off.
Yeah. I just always am digging at the bottom of the barrel of my PTO just because I'm always doing stuff.
It's hard for me because I work weekends. So, you know, if I, by working Sunday through Thursday, that's 0 days off. In a job that doesn't have you working on Saturday or Sunday, you know, you're going to be hitting those days off more.
Yeah.
Yep. There
so there was one thing that I did forget to say the last time I was on from forever ago was I went to a Guild Ball tournament in Chicago and I ended up meeting a few people who recognized my/Nathan's voice. And I didn't realize that it seems like some people seem to think you and I are the same person. At some times, so I think maybe they think we have the same voice.
You do not.
Which
sound
one
like
of us?
I don't sound like. I did feel a little bit insulted because I was. I'm like, I'm not that nasally, and
no one's this nasally,
and bitchy.
Brian's no one's this nasally. Bitchy. Brian, you're kind of nasally.
I'm not nasally. The only I can't be nasally. I have like two aspirated holes that are just there, making sure that I'm not nasally.
I was going to ask, was it the same guy that had the crippled system dice?
No, the crippled system dice guy
sat right next to me, and I was like, oh, I see you have crippled system dice. And he looks at me, he's like, yeah, I love those guys. Like, he's not watched any of the newer podcasts over like the last 6 months or so.
That's whatever.
Where I have probably come up a few times. And I'm just like, that's super cool. I know them.
Aww. You could have said, I'm one of them and punched him.
I think Casey was like, we're one of them, and
yeah.
Like, almost punched a bitch.
No, I was just like,
is
wow.
Is Casey Acker going to have to choke a bitch?
as you do more and as more of those episodes air, you probably get more plus, internet famous.
A lot of them don't watch, they just listen, famous. Which is how you get the this weird voice confusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's, I don't know if something comes across weird. It was just an interesting... interesting revelation.
Were they deaf?
No. Well, the thing that freaked me out was like he looked like a guy I used to work with at a tattoo parlor, but like 20 years younger. And I just like really felt bad. I looked at him like, life's not going to treat you very well if you're sharing that same gene pool. And well, I guess you'd also have to start doing meth, and that would probably then they'd be sync right up.
Yeah, I don't think it's the genetics that's to blame then. Like normally if somebody does meth and they turn out weird looking, it wasn't the genes.
Well, it's like a doppelganger. It's what I would think Kevin from the tattoo parlor would look like if he never started doing drugs and didn't have to deal with a bunch of kids.
Okay.
And was 20 years younger.
That was our first topic.
That feels like an unfortunate stereotype for someone who works in a tattoo shop.
And a lot of them are true, but...
Yeah.
Stereotypes exist for a reason.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are a fact.
Yep. All of them, 100% without failure, are always true, always, forever, and correct.
Always true.
Always.
Yep. So our first subject.
Leaks!
No, we still have more announcements.
God damn it!
Why? You have goddamn announcements. So many announcements.
You're the out of all the people here, you should be talking about this.
Yeah, we said that you should sign up for the WITC, and zero more people signed up, even though I know there's people listening/watching who are going to show up. Funny thing is, a payment came in. I'm like, oh, good, another team signed up. And I looked at it, and it was another payment from a team that had already signed up.
Yeah, to finish.
But it wasn't payments. Even that, because it's supposed to be $50 per person, right?
Sure.
And it's a $100 deposit. So they had done that, so they had $150 left. And then this was just a $50 payment. So I think one of the people on the team fully paid his portion, even though 20% of his portion had already been paid by the... So that now it's weird. Now I have to track that team is...
Sure.
60% of the way paid off.
We did have some confirmations. There are probably some more coming in. Muse had some folks sign up.
At least one team.
I think I sold another Chicago team. I was talking to Rich. Rich is his name. I think we ended up getting him on board.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, we're still short one for Team Vagina Power. I don't know if that's our name. We're still short one.
There's got to be some eunuch War Machine player out there that can join too, right?
A woman. There's actual women that play
Brian.
War Machine.
Jesus.
Wow.
You guys should send a feeler out to War Game Girl.
We were going to reach out to the Facebook group of Women of War Machine if we don't get one between now and June 1st.
You've kind of exhausted most of the locals I can think of off the top of my head, unless Casey admits to herself that it's not 1993 anymore, so she doesn't need to go to a Korn concert.
That's probably the worst part of it, too. But then John has to do something, too.
If she was missing it for Rammstein, I get it. Like, I would abandon this to go see Rammstein, but they're on Friday.
Yeah.
So, no. She's exactly. going on Saturday.
Well, she's in the area,
Korn
too, isn't
Nickelback.
She? It's, like, it's still Milwaukee, right?
It's Chicago, I think.
It's basically Milwaukee.
Basically.
They smell the same.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, Chicago probably smells a little bit better.
Yeah, it smells less like beer and more like rotting corpses and corruption.
Yeah.
Well, Chicago, it does smell better than fermenting beer.
Chicago has like a hot dog cart on every corner, right? That's just the way they operate. Hot dogs and pizza on every corner. And in Milwaukee, if you did that, you just get robbed.
It's hilarious.
And Dave Matthews buses as well. Over
and those just smell like patchouli and weed.
Dave Matthews shitting on people in Chicago. I'll just dump this out here.
Oh, there goes that tour boat.
What the hell, man? Why would you do that? You know those carts, like, they have to pay like $10 million a year for their spots? Like, it's insane what they pay.
What?
That's pretty like, intense. The really key spots, like, right outside the Field Museum, literally cost millions of dollars to rent that
To hold
spot.
The cart there?
Yeah. Yeah, like the cart owners pay millions of dollars because they sell so many hot dogs.
Are they with the mafia?
Their hot
then?
Dogs what happens aren't if there's that a rogue cheap cart? Either, though.
Well, I would imagine they're like $5 or $6,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they sell countless thousands of them. Like the gross sales. Sure. No pun intended.
Yeah, because those hot
shotgun
dogs.
Carts. Or shotgun carts? What the fuck? the gross sale of those hot dogs.
Those
dog
are in Wisconsin.
That's Milwaukee.
Amazing. Like what they sell. And so, yeah, those spots cost a fortune. You know, in place, and especially then in places like New York as well. Like if you have the hot dog cart like in Times Square, like, it's insane the overhead, but it's worth it just because they sell so much.
I just assume that it was just, you know,
you just roll it around, right?
cart.
You have to have a permit for those locations.
Like,
but
when
what
they
if there's
the
a rogue cart, though?
They get ticketed and shut down. Uh-huh. Like, the cops come up and like, where's your permit to sell right here? If you don't have a permit to sell right there, you're gone.
And if a cop's going to know, because they get free hot dogs.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. That's what I learned from Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Yes.
That and
yes.
How to make rum ham.
They didn't actually. He did tell you how to make rum ham. Yes,
right. He's got two ingredients. It doesn't take a lot of effort to figure out how to make rum ham.
There's other things too.
Soak ham in rum.
Well, you got pineapple in there too. And
well, that's
cherries.
Just standard ham.
Yeah. All right.
So are we going to talk about French's? I'm talking about mustard now.
Some French guy is getting murdered by a black ops team right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
We and unrelated talk about... to that, there was a leak.
Yep, who was it? The Romans that worked indoor plumbing first? Or was it the Greeks?
I think it was the Chinese.
Sure.
The Chinese, probably. More likely, if we're going by civilization.
Well, the Chinese had used series of piping to transport natural gas, but I don't know that they ever used it for plumbing reasons.
I think my joke's lost now anyways. I was going to talk about leaky French faucets.
Well, it what people make is natural gas as well.
Not when I make it. It's very unnatural.
I've heard smelling farts is good for you. So when you fart on an elevator, you're really just helping everyone else.
Yeah, it helps prevent cancer.
That's a terrible joke, and you probably pulled that from the internet somewhere.
I just watched a little video, whatever. My Facebook set to autoplay. They also said women's farts are more stinky than men's. Scientifically proven. So take it.
Anyway.
Yeah. So leaky French faucets.
So is that what a female fart smells like? Is that what it's called?
I am pretty sure they just wouldn't know the difference anyway.
You know, so I was reading on a forum and somebody was talking about various podcasts and they said they don't like the random, stream of consciousness, crippled system style. And I was going to defend us and then I realized I should not.
There is no defense for us.
There is no defense for us in general.
My favorite thing to do is when somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, I really enjoy your podcast." I'm like, "I'm sorry."
You should go get some help.
When you pissed off the Malifaux people, you know, all those knuckle-dragging neckbeard losers. So, like, one of them started posting on our Twitter, and he's like, you know, crippled system is the absolute worst thing in the history of mankind. And I assumed they were a fan. Yeah. And so I liked and retweeted it because I thought it was great. I'm like, that's true. We suck. And he's like, yeah, you're the worst. I'm like, we sure are, buddy. And it took, like, four before I realized, oh, wait, no, this guy actually doesn't like us.
Well, I was happy enough that when we did go to MuseCon this weekend, or this past weekend here, I was not murdered by Malifaux players in fedoras.
It's because they're too afraid.
I think there were only like three of them there.
They're
so
big, scary people on the internet, but as soon as you take their keyboard away, they're like little babies.
Yeah.
I'd like to announce, so too, remember when I was talking about the Blood Bowl tournament at MomCon?
That two people?
I really wanted it to be more than Guild Ball, but considering, you know, the state of the game, next year when Blood Bowl is re-released through Games Workshop, yeah, we might have a chance at that. But
I saw a few games going on. There were like four people, right?
But yeah, no, we had four people, which was more than Star Wars, I believe. And I think more than Malifaux.
So four people. Did you go ahead and do three rounds? Did you do round robin?
I round robin it.
Awesome. That works out really well then. You get a full day and it's not just three rounds, whatever.
We missed out one round for it though.
Because
it's only three games with four people.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so, it was so originally going to be set to four games.
Oh, but the point is, even though it's originally going to be four, you still, I mean, three rounds is still a good chunk of time to play a game. It's not like it was just two rounds and then, you know, whatever. Yeah. And
I brought my stuff in case we were stuck at three or some odd number, so we can at least get in all the games that we needed.
And I think a Blood Bowl team made it into the painting cabinet, too.
Yep, it did. A Halfling team.
We segued into our second topic. We're talking about MomCon instead of leaks.
Okay, we'll talk about leaks MomCon. And then MomCon.
We can talk about MomCon. Leaks will be there.
Yeah, leaks will be there at the end. MomCon was cool. So, of the group that I went down with, just like the it was Acker, Johnny from Manitowoc, who's now Johnny Pastrami, and Ethan. So, all of us walked away with a cool accomplishment. Acker won the Who's the Captain Guild Ball tournament, which is like Who's the
Blatantly
Boss.
Fucking stolen from Andy.
It's
Ben did ask for permission.
Okay, well, there we go. So.
And then, Ben Lang?
Ben Lang.
That piece of shit.
Yeah. That piece of shit. So are now we know his wife now, too?
He's a cheater. His wife's an idiot. God. And he's a piece of shit. God. Man. I'm not sure if I'll let them allow me to sleep on their couch next year. That's how much I don't like the Lings. Well, okay. As a favor to them, I'll let them house
it
me.
Might elevate their status.
It will. Bit. It will.
So, Acker won that. Johnny Pastrami ended up qualifying for Masters. He 4-0'd the Crumpians event. And
was that just using the champions format, basically?
Yeah, using what we our perceived champions format with the ADR casters. But
was that not public yet? The full rules?
The full rules, I don't think, are public.
Okay, no. Never mind. Go on.
Then he did it with just.
I can't keep track of shit. There's too many leaks and Mark III stuff going on.
He ended up doing it with just P. Sorcia. That's all he had with him that he could do it with. So he qualified and then got his teeth kicked in by Keith in round one in Masters. But then Ethan. He almost qualified for Masters, but he decided to drink 11 cans of Kirkland in 1 hour, draining the clock against Haley One. Because he didn't have an answer to her. He was hoping to dodge it. So he just decided to give the Haley player just as miserable of an experience by drinking nothing but shitty Costco beer on his clock. He got very belligerent and was very rude.
The Haley player?
No.
Or Ethan?
It was Zach from Milwaukee. That guy can't get belligerent.
He can't. Zach's like the nicest guy.
He actually almost got shaken during it, though, but he was cool and collected. And
I mean, did Ethan just literally just sit there and drink for an hour?
He did get up to go piss and get more beer, but he did drink for an hour.
I'm not sure why that would even be annoying for Zach.
No, I don't think so. He's like, I'm just going to go 4-0 in this event and qualify, whatever. I'll sit here for however long I want.
He ended up winning the qualifier, right?
He did. Zach? He ended up taking the qualifier.
Yep.
And along with some guy named Brandon, I think, whose name I can't remember the rest of it. He's a Kador player from Omaha, I think. And some other dude that played Kador. Crazy.
How'd you do?
Oh, I ended up walking away with best painted unit, so that was my cool like
you
claim
paint
to
your
fame.
Unit?
I did paint my unit, slapped it right out there. Chris Green was just begging for it, right? So he was teaching me how to play Marvel Universe, and he was just like, Brian, ever since I left St. Louis, I just want to see your dick so bad. So I painted it up for him and put a little Nickelback logo on there, and he fell in love with it again.
Again?
Yep, second time.
Okay.
So, other than that, I scrubbed a bunch, but, like, I played in a spell draft and got, like, a 15-inch trample with a Scythian into a Denny and didn't kill her.
I saw a picture, I forget who posted, but somebody posted about how they got assassinated in spell draft with their Denny 3, and then the people were talking about how bad Denny 3 is because of a huge base and usually killed and whatever, but the picture he showed of the game, the opposing person was also Denny 3,
yep.
So it's just especially stupid that the people posting were talking about how, yeah, that's proof Denny sucks. It's like, well, she also won that game.
From what I gather, Denny 3 is one of the more egregious ones.
In spell draft, she's broken as hell. You give her any 3-cost nuke and she wins.
Yeah. It's really difficult
like,
to play
against that. His opponent literally had just run. He had advanced like 4 inches out of his deployment zone, and his opponent just ran an arc node and then nuked him to death.
Yep. That was. I played Veil 2 because I just was like, this is what I want to experience. I want to play this game in a crazy, over the top way. And I ended up getting Hellfire and Obliterate. And then I also ended up with Mobility, Rush, and Boundless Charge. So sure. I was just like shooting beasts across the table at lightning speed. The guy I played against, that Denny 3 player, and he was like, I was not seeing a 15-inch trample coming at me. I'm like, yep, I'm sure you weren't.
What I would really like is for Spelldraft, because all you really see is any 8-cost caster, or some 7-cost casters that have some ridiculous other abilities. I'd like for Spelldraft, because it's done in eights, right?
Yeah.
So you have 8 players. You have 8 generic casters that all have like specific abilities that you draft from as well.
Well, we'll see. They hinted at the build your own warcaster thing in Mark 3, so we'll see what that's like.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it had cool artwork.
Yeah. I mean, that would be how I would see. The other issue I have with Spelldraft is that it's really super competitive for something that seems like it should just be kind of like a, hey, I got wacky shit, let's play.
Well, yeah, wacky in that game is good. Like, I mean, sure, I can put Quagmire on my Nyss and run them into you. That's cool. But, like, to launch beasts that far or do what was one of the other good mutagenesis with any huge base caster. Like, all 3 Dennys there had mutagenesis. And I also had thought about, like, what if you knew what your opponent was playing before you drafted? So then that way you're like, if you have a Evail player sitting next to you, you do not give them a nuke. Like, if you see one, you just hate it out. But I guess, like, that makes that's for a weird
magic player, though. Like,
that's the magic player in me talking, where I'm just like, okay, I cannot let this person have this or else we're all doomed.
The other thing I'd like to is, but it just take fucking forever, is if you redraft every round.
That would be interesting. So that way you don't get stuck with a over the top thing. And
could you actually maybe do it like this? Could you actually draft every round at the very beginning? It's like, my first round I'm going to have these spells, my second round I'm going to have these spells, my third round I'm going
to
have these spells.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to draft 8 cards. Plus,
except you need 4 sets of cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I mean, you just write them down, or yeah, or something. You could write like them that. Down,
but the problem with writing them down is if you're like, I don't remember what mutagenesis does. I need to go find a mutagenesis card.
Sure. You could also just draft them like normal, and then switch like every round. Everyone switches.
Oh, their everyone stat. Else gets everyone else's draft.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
It's hard to open with it around my neck.
You could have just lifted it 3 inches higher up.
Whatever. Then it would go in the microphone. Which probably went in the microphone anyways, whatever.
Probably not. Oh, somebody had mentioned a loser pulls 1 card from the winner's pool and hands them one of theirs over.
That'd be pretty legit, because I got stuck with some... No, never mind. I got Wraithbane. That was my worst card. Wraithbane on Ravagors is good. But no, MuseCon was really cool. I ended up buying a bunch of neat stuff there, and the Tectonic Studios guy was awesome. Like, there was nothing bad about that convention. The hotel was great. Like, we ended up getting one of the suites, so it had like a king bed that 3 guys slept in, and then the fold out couch. And like, the hotel had an issue with us bringing in, well, had an issue with Ethan bringing in his massive box of Kirkland. But they didn't mind that we were bringing down, like, onesies and twosies of beer, even though they had, like, an establishment selling alcohol attached to them. It was just a really chill place. It was a good time. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to going again.
I didn't see any issues like War Machine Weekend had drunks.
Ethan was by far the closest to that. But War Machine Weekend does get pretty intense. I think Ethan's forever known as the Kirkland guy.
Yeah, this last War Machine Weekend was especially egregious about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, not won't mention names, but he was already passed out on a couch. Like, I don't even think the con had even started yet.
Well, yeah, although that wasn't, I don't know, that wasn't even as bad as, like, the couple nights later when they did Beer Machine and you get the, you know, puke and rally and, you know.
Or yeah, I saw so many people that just had difficulty walking, and I think in that type of environment, everywhere. Yeah, you don't want shit all over your models and... That's especially like the terrain and the boards that show up. Like, you gotta be like manageable. And I felt like the Muzon Con or whatever was like probably. It just felt like some of the most well behaved people of War Machine were there. Like, it was just like everybody was just kind of on the same level. They were all there for the same reason, just to play and have fun, not to get shit faced.
Yeah. So I helped out Tectonic Craft Studios on Friday.
That's Archie Dan's thing, right?
Yep.
It's cool. He made me a custom Adepticon badge.
Yep. I assembled a lot of trays that first day. So the way he sets up his booth is that he has nothing assembled when he gets there. So you basically spend the next like 6 hours of that first day just assembling everything they got him. So I assembled a ton of trays. But
do your hands still smell like MDF?
No, the worst, the stuff that smelt the worst was Muse had a lot of mats.
Mats, yeah. When I brought mine home, it still stinks.
Oh, yeah. And they also use the 1D terrain as well, too.
Their 2D terrain, it seemed like this stuff was more saturated in color, because the one complaint I've always had about Muse 2D terrain is that the colors seem a little washed out, but this stuff looked really crisp and clean. I liked it a lot. Plus, their mats were really cool. Like, yeah. I was going to buy a Guild Ball one, but I already have a Steamforged one, so I ended up buying one of their 4x4s. And other than it smelling rancid, it's pretty awesome.
Just, do you have a garage?
I do have a garage.
Just put it in your garage for a couple days. Roll it out, put it in your garage for a couple days. It will eventually air out. That was the same thing with all the zones as mm-hmm. well. Because I think however they cut it, because I believe they laser cut it.
Yeah.
And that's what really makes that smell.
Mm. But yeah, other than that, I loved it.
I got a Guild Ball, Matt.
Ooh, Andy.
One step further.
Yeah, you have Matt and a team. You're in.
No, I don't have a team.
He has a partial team.
Yeah. What are you playing?
Yeah, the starter box of Butchers, right?
Yeah. That's it. I just have a starter box of Butchers.
My plan was to finally cave, buy Engineers, play Engineers, get annihilated because Engineers suck, and then quit the game. And then I could say I gave it a fair shot.
No, buy Pin Vice instead. You'll do well.
What team was it that Salmons had that had all the alchemy things that they threw?
The Alchemist. Yeah,
okay. Okay. Because all I heard is he came over to our area and started talking about one of his matches that he killed like three things on somebody's maintenance phase.
Yeah, with all the conditions. If you don't pay attention to it, they'll fuck you.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool. But no, I picked up a Butcher's team, or I got a Butcher's team given to me.
You painted or something.
Oh, yeah. There was a painting contest that I helped run. Which is going to make this next part here seem awfully fucking fishy.
Let's talk about how Andy fucked everyone. So
I didn't fuck anyone. God damn it. So
that's rude of you.
So there was a painting competition that was there on top of the Hobby Lounge. This year, or for this one, I wasn't had my hands into this that much. Brian Finken really picked it up and ran with it. The eyes going wide for what?
I'm just saying, I didn't have a whole lot to do with this. I really had no hand in any votes or anything. And
so
is this like how the first 5 years of the Monopoly game at McDonald's, it was won by somebody who worked for McDonald's?
No, it's not any of that. At the last minute, which is about a week and a half before the event came, I decided I'll pull out one of my models. I had submitted at a War Machine weekend many years ago. I don't believe I even placed, but it's a model I took a lot of time on, and I got some decent feedback, disheartening feedback from Ron Cruzy, the dreamed crusher from Privateer Press, and then I decided, okay, I'll work on that model. So I worked on it for like the first week before, and I submitted it. I knew I was going to be judging the event, so I wanted to make sure that was the last, that category was the last thing that was judged, and I would remove myself from the judging for it. Turns out then, when I removed myself from the judging, the replacement judge picked my model, as long as, and everybody else did, and then they also picked my model as for Best in Show.
I'm very happy for you, and congratulations. And it
only cost him $20 per judge.
Exactly.
Bribe.
He was like, I'm backing out of this one, judges, because this is my model, Andy Welton's model, who you all really like a whole lot. And that stuff I gave you yesterday, yep, I remember I got you guys food. Stuff. This is Andy's model.
No.
I'm going to leave the room now.
No.
Your unbiased vote is appreciated.
No, it wasn't. it really wasn't. It is my first official, like, convention win at a painting contest. I've never had that before.
Well, you've never judged them before.
I judged them before. God damn it.
It just never occurred to you to do this last time.
Yeah, it was a big sure. racket.
Yeah, I'm going to win War Machine Weekend, though, too. Well, you guys watch out. No.
This is easy.
Yeah.
No, it had some really good competition there. My model, it was in a very tight heat with another one of the caster models in that category. So it was just happened that it was chosen.
What are the odds?
What
a crazy random happenstance.
Yeah. Joking aside, you deserve it. It was a well-won contest.
I had a conversation with Stubbs at Adepticon because he was talking about... because he was doing painting stuff, and there were some real, like, you know, gold caliber painters that were there. And, like, somebody would come over with a model and go, oh, look at this. And the painters would be, like, you know, just rip them apart. Mm-hmm. You know, just absolutely rip them apart. And he's talking about how, like, it's really disheartening for the people, but it does them no good to go, oh, that's really nice, sweetie. Oh, isn't that cute? Mm-hmm. Bye. And they go, that thing fucking sucks after they leave. If you legitimately want to be good, you need them to tear you apart.
Yes. And
I mean, it's nice for them to temper it, you know, like you can try to do the sandwich, you know, the good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. But no, not like the woman in between and the high fives. You should do those sandwiches too.
No but, Eiffel Towers.
Yeah. Eiffel Tower anytime you want to. Come on. It seems like good time. Eiffel Tower, the JFK, all that stuff. So the point is
JFK.
That's where you splatter all over her while she screams and tries to get out of the car.
Okay.
But anyway, so
I just completely derailed.
No, but the point is you're doing them a favor by...
by giving them feedback.
By giving them feedback. Yeah. You know, what is bad is what needs to be fixed. And you can mention the good things, and that's why I post on your Facebook and, you know, you never responded, which I don't take personally, fuck you. But I was curious how much of that disheartening feedback you actually used in your improvements.
I used a lot of it, though.
And the thing is, like, once, you know, the emotional impact wears off and you look and you're like, okay, I understand what they meant, and indeed, this, that, and the other, mm-hmm. now it is better.
Yeah. No, I guess it felt to me it at that time when I painted it. It was like one of my best models I ever produced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the pinnacle of your painting career.
Yeah, that's what I felt it as. And then when maybe it actually only placed a bronze at War Machine Weekend.
Yeah, I thought you placed.
Yeah, I think you placed. I remember this. I was at work listening to back episodes of Crippled System like 5 months ago. It was really bad. I was in a dark place, and I remember I heard that episode, and you were. You took third, and it sounded like you wanted to cut your wrists.
Yeah. But here's the good thing. Like, so when you look back and think on it, that was the pinnacle of your painting. That was the best painting you've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
You got feedback. You improved it. And now you've done even better.
Exactly. Like,
your pinnacle has gone up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's it did take 3 years to do it.
Yeah.
Well, Rome wasn't built in a day, right?
You set it aside for 3 years, right? And then, well, I don't know how many. You've done practice in between then.
I've had some other models before then, but I mean, not that many. I have not even remotely attempted to put in a model into a competition since that point.
Yep.
What?
Nothing.
She thought of something funny.
She thought about a dick joke.
No, well, that was, I thought about, I was giggling because of, I did not win best goal when we were playing Guild Ball in Chicago, and I was still a little peeved about that.
Did you go to MomCon?
I did not.
You did not?
No.
Nope.
Did you do anything
this
fun?
This was a stag. This was a Destiny? Stag party.
No, I actually played Heavy Rain all weekend.
Huh. Had you played it before?
No.
Huh.
Wait, it was raining all weekend.
I did finish it. In fact, I finished it with everyone still alive and got all of the good endings and everything fantastic and all of the silly trophies for being a really amazing player, even though I complained about the entire story while I was playing the game. It's a horrible story. It's really bad.
Heavy Rain?
Yeah.
It's got some flaws.
It's got some pretty bad writing.
Press X to Jason.
Yes, press X to Jason constantly.
Wait, what?
Press X to Jason. In the beginning of the game, like the prologue, like somebody's kid dies. Spoiler.
Oh my god.
But so, it's a prologue, though. It's at the beginning of the game.
It's the beginning of the game. But like, so the kid wanders off, and you as the parent need to find him.
He's fucking stupid.
And while you're looking
and you're
for
fucking
him,
stupid.
While you're looking for him, you have, but you know, you're moving around, and you can press like buttons to do things, and the X button literally just makes you go, Jason! And so the big joke running thing was press X to Jason. There's even a song, press X to Jason. It's good times. The kid was dumb and deserved to die.
Well, and his dad was dumb and just like, yep, you can have this balloon, run 20 feet away as I pay this creepy clown money.
Well, I mean, the kid ran off. I mean,
I have younger siblings and I am much older than them, and I understand that you do not let a child that young like not be attached to you in a busy mall.
Yeah.
They should have had their kids on leashes.
Yeah. Well, and then he died.
Yeah.
And then there was a killer. I wanted to play through again and kill the killer, but I never bothered. I do like that the creator of the game specifically said, never play my game again. I was like, he said, like,
they don't want it. They don't want you to play it multiple times.
They want you to play it once and get your, they're like, get your life is experienced once. My game should be the same thing, blah, blah, blah. Something
very
pretentious.
Artsy. Yeah.
Well,
something
artsy, but it kind of made sense. For getting all of the endings.
Because some executives decide to shoehorn that shit in there. The creator of the game isn't necessarily responsible for that.
Well,
kind
the creator
of
the game needs to be a better fucking writer.
So that's probably why. Was it really bad writing the first time you went through it, or did you
I literally turned on the game, and when I play solo games, I still like get into parties with people, and I'm pretty sure like,
well,
Dylan,
maybe it's
the
just
one
your fault for not paying full attention to the storyline.
I paid really good attention when they're like, oh yes, here are your children running around behind you and you're lollygagging around the fucking mall and you can't even look for a goddamn red balloon. It's just right there. He's got this giant red balloon, and you're just like, Jason, where did you go? It's very frustrating. It's very bad writing. And they, like, intentionally put tits in the game for no reason.
They sure did.
Wait, no, there's
a
reason.
Is no reason.
I did a good job. So one time you have to see tits. And then the second time, if you're good at the game, you don't see tits.
Oh, okay. So I guess I'm just really bad at the game.
You saw tits both times?
No.
Well, because there's one time where, like, she takes a shower, and then there's, like, the attack and everything. Then later, like, at a strip club, she, like, seduces a guy.
Oh, yeah, no.
If you're bad at the game, she has to seduce him for longer, and she gets naked again.
I didn't have to do
that,
but I did throw a fit about her ripping her skirt to make her look more seductive when it just makes her have a ripped skirt.
Yes. Yeah. Yup.
That's not what I did all Friday and Saturday. Saturday, Sunday, Friday night. I was actually in a tiny chat with a group of friends. I don't know if you guys are familiar with what tiny chat is, but it's like an older version of like web chat and like public
IRC
space. Yeah.
So why talking about that or why?
Why did you do this?
Because it's really great when you get 47 people in there.
Can you just
Skype
with 47
people? And you only know
people?
Like 7 of them.
Oh. Okay.
Do you know that there are people who have dicks that are smaller than my thumb?
Yes.
Yeah. See plenty of them.
Yeah, it's a shame.
That was
my Friday night.
In Heavy Rain, the cartoon in the game that has like the chef chasing the chicken, I watched that thing for hours. That thing's fun. And then there's one with like the guys with the treasure map. I'll just watch the cartoons on the TVs in Heavy Rain because that's more entertaining plotline than Heavy Rain itself was.
Heavy Rain was rough.
It was cliched and ham-handed, but it was bad writing, but I've seen worse.
You ever watch? I won't disagree.
You ever watch like Grand Theft Auto 4 or 5 and go and just watch the television in there?
Sure.
It's insane the amount of stuff that they put into just the television stuff. There's like 40 some hours.
A lot of stock in those games though. Like when they create them, they put a lot of effort into them.
It's a lot of Grand Theft Auto 5 is amazing. Everyone should play it.
Speaking of which, leaks.
Oh yeah, leaks happened.
Grand Theft.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you made an actual segue.
Boom.
Also, the cartoons in Heavy Rain were made by a French company, and the French people stole the stuff that was leaked.
Yep.
I didn't think they stole it. Dirty I thought
Frenchies.
It was.
It's probably a French distributor or something.
They had it and decided to share it.
Well, yeah. Sure. Okay.
Well, I think it was probably for printing because they were.
It's for translating.
Yeah, that's what
these people were supposed to be translating the text, and instead they decided to take pictures and put it on the internet webs.
Yeah. Or they released them to other folks that then one of those other folks decided to take pictures.
Yeah, his spoilers, you can never show something to one person.
Correct.
Exactly. Because they're going to show it to two people, and they're going to show it to four, and then the internet has it.
Yeah. Like, just like how STDs are spread.
Yep.
I feel like that's a fallacy. I'm a very trustworthy person.
Okay, I'm never going to tell you a secret. You could be incredibly trustworthy, but you know how I know for sure that you'll never tell anybody? I just don't tell it to you.
That's fair.
Word. Yeah. So I guess, like, I think there's the issue is, like, right now it seems like people are ostracizing people for enjoying the spoilers. At least there seems to be a little bit of that. That seems to be a trend that's happening recently.
Could you elaborate a little bit more?
There are people, like, there was a coup on the Mercenary Facebook page over this, because, like, the admin of the group was calling people scum for daring to read the spoilers.
And so they made us,
yeah, and like they're fighting over this because people are like, "How dare you even look at the spoilers? You're a monster. You should ignore them and don't encourage this behavior because it's wrong." And as long as we all just ignore the pictures, then it goes away.
I think it sprung. They had like 85 new member requests after the spoilers were like let out as soon as it became common information. I think the group has one or two admins, so I think that's the real issue: is that there should be more of a brain trust and not so much just one person controlling the traffic in and out. And whether what he said was in jest or not, it really, really seemed like it was, it just wasn't appropriate. I know, like, you can say, oh, somebody got butthurt on the internet. But the thing is like, when you're supposed to be like the figurehead for something like that, you should probably approach things with a little bit more tact instead of vomiting what you feel at the moment.
Right.
You admonish the people who posted the pictures. You know?
Exactly. You go to the source. You can sit there and ostracize those people who let that shit slip because they probably have some kind of NDA or some company policy that says they shouldn't do that shit. Yeah. But just because it came out and I want to reap the benefits of that by reading the spoilers, I'll say I did. I read every single card there was because it was out there and I was able to look at it. I'm not the shitbag for reading them. The person who leaked that stuff is the shitbag for doing that. And I don't think you should be blackballing people for it.
But this is absolutely analogous situation as far as the actual logistics of what happened, but it's so morally different. I wonder how good of an analog this is. The fappening.
Oh, yeah.
How terrible are you as a person for downloading the pictures of Jennifer Lawrence masturbating and enjoying those because you've always wanted to see her naked? I mean, we know the person who cracked into her phone is a piece of garbage. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is the same thing you were thinking of the last 30 seconds.
No, but I am going down the same track.
Like, it's the exact same thing. Like, this is info that was not supposed to get out there. The person who posted out there is garbage. Like, I'm never going to say that person wasn't garbage. But Jennifer Lawrence is super hot, and I sure did see those pictures. I mean, you know, and it was wrong of me to look at them, but I saw them. Right?
There's a huge moral difference with that. It's a
huge moral difference.
But you can put it on the same level.
As I was saying, logistically, it's identical. And I think that the what happened with this admin and some people online that you're talking about are treating it as identical. Mm-hmm. And me looking at the new Troll Warlocks card is not the same as me looking at Jennifer Lopez's breasts. Not
exactly.
Lopez, Lawrence's breasts.
Well, I live in a HIPAA world.
Right.
So, I mean, I feel like there's... When it comes to spoilers and leaks in gaming,
probably let people know what HIPAA means.
I would hope they did. It's like I don't even know what it stands for. It just means I know medical information about people and I can't fucking talk
Health
about it.
Health Information Protection Act, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, close. because it's not HIPAA like hippo. It's HIPAA with two A's.
Yeah,
One P.
One P, two A's. But like, it's basically like I work in the health insurance industry and I have access to a lot of confidential health information for our customers and clients. There's a understanding that I am not allowed to talk about that in any way, shape, or form. Now,
I'm legally HIPAA bound too, just because of working in
the printing
shops,
industry.
Because I see stuff like that.
See, and that's like I feel like there's maybe if NDAs, I don't know, I'm going to sound like a dick for this, but like if NDAs were more like governmentally.
There's still a legally it's binding
there's legal yeah there's legal issues right but like since we live in a gaming world where spoilers and leaks happen frequently, it seems like it's the most egregious part is like I feel bad for Privateer Press in that they now their insiders get a little weird They were probably really excited to share all this information mm-hmm. with us, and somebody went and popped their balloon.
Somebody shat in their cereal.
Exactly.
Did you see Hungerford's Twitter update like an hour ago?
Yeah.
It was just that picture of like the dog in the burning room when it's like, this is fine. Everything's fine. Hungerford just posted that picture. It was depressing but good.
No, I feel bad for them for sure because it's not something that they wanted to have happen. I feel like I had this weird argument with myself in my head where I was like, you have to think that they expect some of this to happen, but they set those NDAs up in watermark and confidential to not make that happen. And it blows. I guess it's just really hard for me to react to it because I live on two sides of the fence where, like, if the information's out there, I'll look at it just because it's there and I want to be informed.
Stream offline? A couple people have commented about the stream being offline.
Yeah.
We are experimenting some technological differences.
I don't...
You can see us.
It looks like it just jumped off for a second there.
Gotcha. All right.
We're having some kind of downloading thing, so sorry about that.
Hooray for downloading things. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like you said, I looked at every single one of the pictures, but we're all voracious right now for all the information.
Exactly.
We can
get. Hungry for it.
And so this isn't too disastrous for PP as long as it isn't every card. You know, if they stop it now, things are okay.
Well, the meme or the picture that's been floating around on the Kador Facebook group or forums or what have you has been like just this barren wasteland with like a boned animal sitting out in there, and it just says Kador spoilers. And it's actually really nice that they haven't got many of those, along with the Menoth spoilers. There haven't been many of those, or no minions.
I got nothing.
Like, those insiders are still yet to come, so there's something that's going to happen off of those. I don't know if anything was spoiled that was way over the top, like cock blocked PP and what they wanted to do, other than maybe the NQ images that got spoiled out.
Yeah. But oh well. We're not going to talk about the actual stuff.
No, I'm not trying to comment on any of the rules that happened or start riding a doom train or talk about how happy I am about X, but I think there's some strange stuff about how people are reacting to the spoilers. And if you're one of those people who's feeling a little bit self-righteous and saying, I'm not going to look at the pictures out of respect for PP, super great. But just don't ostracize those for doing it.
You don't need to show how important I am for not looking at them. I mean, I didn't look at them.
But people need to know.
Yeah, what's the point in doing something incorrect if you don't rub it in people's faces?
Oh, yeah.
But I do know that a lot of the groups had pulled down the pictures in their forums just because, like, with it saying confidential and PP probably wanting to, I don't know if they're going to want to or if they're going to seek legal action against anyone, but I don't even know if they can trace it properly to do so.
They could do fairly well.
Okay.
I had read somewhere that PP had said that they knew where the leak was already.
Okay, well, then at least it's good that they have the source of it, because I do believe that if those leaks do happen, the sources should be dealt with accordingly. I don't think that those should just go by willy-nilly. Yeah.
On the bright side, Jack Marshall's.
Yeah, Jack Marshall's.
Keeping things moving.
Yeah, Jack Marshall's were in the Insider today, so the Insider came out as...
Which 50% of us haven't read.
Yeah, that's why I'm gonna pull up the exact thing. The basic thing is, so drives are... For Marshals that have drives, they are always on passive abilities that their Jacks just have for being in their command range. Like, the Iron Witch Overseer just gives Dark Shroud. Just boom. You're in his command range, you're his War Jack, you just have Dark Shroud. That's pretty cool. I think they said the Covenant... Oh, I don't remember. No. I think this is from the thread, because there was an Indicator League stuff. Like, the Covenant, I believe his drive was like Assault. He just gives Assault. He's just passive. And then instead of the Marshal pseudo-focus point, the Jack has four choices each activation, because there's four different things that it can do with its pseudo-Jack Marshal thing. Either A, if it aims, it gets +2 to all of its range damage. B, it gets +2 to hit on every attack it makes, every single attack, that activation. C, it can run or charge or do power attacks for free, and it gets +2 to hit with its charge or slam to hit roll. Or D, it gets an additional melee attack and gets +2 to all melee damage.
It seems like they've done quite a bit with them. I haven't paid attention to the forums since I got off work, but I don't believe they've told us whether or not they still benefit from the power field thing.
They will not.
Okay.
They will not, because power field is for being in a battle group, and so journeymen give power field to their jack, but no, marshals wouldn't, because they're not in a battle group.
Well, and see, in my opinion, I honestly feel like jack marshals could have just went away, and I wouldn't. I know that they're very present in the fluff of the game, but I feel like they just add a level of complexity, that, especially on the disparity between War Machine and Hordes, that isn't really necessary. Like, they were maligned in MK2, and I don't feel like they bring enough interest to wanting to run them that way for them to really warrant an existence.
Well, I don't know. These abilities seem different from Focus enough to be interesting to me, and they still reduce that burden from your Warcaster. Mm-hmm. But your Warcaster, interestingly enough, so Power Up reduces the burden of your Warcaster in general, but your Warcaster is also going to have more jacks, so when you want to go all in on your War Jacks, it's more of a burden now, right? Because they're not just going to have one random War Jack, they're going to have two or three or four.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool. You kind of have to break down. So the Marshaled War Jack is always at least as good as Power Up, because you always have at least that free runner charge.
Yeah.
So there's a focus right there. And so you kind of have to look at this nebulous thing where is an additional attack and plus two to all your melee damage as good as three focus? It's like, well, I don't know. You know, it's kind of close there. If you have two melee weapons, then you're getting the attack as a focus, and then you've got three attacks now. They're each getting plus two, which is a little weaker than a boost, but you're getting three of them instead of two of them. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's
an option.
It seems... You're right that maybe in the case of streamlining, it could have gone away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think purely from a power level, I don't think Jack Marshals are garbage anymore. These seem viable to me.
Yeah, I could see you wanting to bring them. It's just that, like I said, it seems like there are some things where they talk about wanting to make the game more simplistic. Or not so simplistic, but eliminate some of the complexities that we had. And I feel like having a differentiation between a Warcaster, a Journeyman Warcaster, and a Jack Marshal just adds another layer of complexity, where on the Horde side, you just have to worry about Warlocks and Lesser Warlocks. That's it. You don't even get that bonus of having a Beast Marshal, I guess.
You do have a Jack Marshal.
Yeah, you could have Jack Marshals.
Well, yeah. I could have Rollick or something.
Yep, Rollick can play for you. For most of the Horde's factions, I think Minions and Trolls.
He works for Pigs, if nothing else, in the Minions. But well. Yeah, I think he does. But I don't know, the two people who haven't had a couple hours to think about this, what are you, your reaction to that?
I'm checked out.
Okay.
Talk about War Machine, Amanda's done.
Yeah.
But as a Cyrus player, it doesn't really affect you. You play War Machine?
What?
She's checked out of Mark II, and that doesn't care about it until Mark III actually
I am happens. Literally like, we'll I am talk about on Mark hiatus. III. Well, I understand what we're talking about. I play Cyrus. That is my War Machine faction.
You play Convergence.
I play Cyrus.
No, Cyrus is not
Cyrus
an option.
Cyrus is a god.
Yeah, you don't play Cyrus.
Yeah,
unless you talk about, like, in an animated sitcom about the Convergence goddess, yes. You play Cyrus.
Yes, I am a goddess.
Like, oh, Menoth, why'd you burn the couch again?
I want that sitcom. Just Thamer, Morrow,
Everblight.
Yeah, well, he's Dunia, not a god.
You ate my leftover pie.
All right, that does need to happen now. And Cyrus will obviously be the nitpicky one. You know, everything's just got to be in its spot. Oh, yeah. Always, like, you know, like Felix from The Odd Couple.
Yeah, he's completely Felix, yeah.
She.
Yeah, she's genderless.
We're talking about The Odd Couple, not modern okay. Odd Couple. We're talking about Odd Couple from back in the day.
No, I'm talking about Cyrus.
Oh.
She.
Well, she would be Felix.
Okay, yes, yeah. Yes.
But she, again,
the character
she's
type is would be.
Yeah, she's genderless.
Gender is important.
But
because it determines what which bathroom you use.
For young girls to look up to.
Bathroom.
That's what dude.
I mean, Iron Mother did keep her boobs and installed a gun in them.
Yeah.
That body be banging, yo.
What is that from?
Iron Mother having boobs? That's
no. Oh, never mind.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right. What do you think of the Jack Marshals, Andy?
Boobs.
Boobs. Sounds good. Speaking of which, so I never seen it because Adam Sandler is terrible and deserves death. But I came home from work today and my stepson's fiance was sleeping on the couch and apparently she'd fallen asleep watching Don't Mess with the Zohan. And it was on for like 20 minutes or so while I was there. And it's literally just... Yep. Everything I saw is just white actors going oogly boogly goat synonymous hoobly hoobly hoobla, and it was the most horrific thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it
sounds like an Adam Sandler movie.
You should watch the whole thing.
It was horrific.
Well, Adam Sandler is basically the crippled system of Hollywood, really.
No, like, no. I don't just sit here in blackface for an hour and a half going, I sure do love grape soda and eat a watermelon.
I mean, we could probably
that's all he was doing.
We could probably ask Swedish Muslim Jeremy what he thinks about that topic.
That's not
he's in Guantanamo right now, so yeah. I mean,
I was horrified because I'm like, I knew he was doing it, and then they brought on that terrible fucker, and then the other one, and then somebody who I respect but that's terrible in his movies. Oh, it's terrible.
That movie, I think, is the start of the downfall of Adam Sandler. I think we talked about this before, the movie Pain Train of that.
Yeah.
But I think Don't Mess with the Zohan is like up there. Because that was right around the same time like Master of Disguise came out.
Yeah.
That horrible movie.
Oh, my God. I just... Like, they were playing hacky sack with a live cat for no reason. I guess just because they're stupid, savage foreigners.
I just don't... I don't think that his
and
sense of...
eating hummus.
I don't think his sense of comedy has evolved with the rest of the world. And I think, like, maybe if we saw these movies like the Ridiculous Six maybe 10 or 15 years ago, it probably would be different.
The thing is, there are people that still enjoy that, so...
Are they? They're called two-year-olds.
Well, I'm not saying that they aren't.
But they don't buy movie tickets. Who the fuck? Like, why grown-ups too? Why?
I don't know.
Yeah.
America.
I'm pretty sure it's because he funds his own films, isn't it?
No, we fund his films by buying tickets to them.
I mean, like, instead of it being like a production company or something.
He was having
Happy
troubles.
Gilmore Productions or whatever.
Yeah.
Happy Madison. But external producers still give him the money. It's not like he doesn't pay for the films. His production company gets money from other people.
Yeah.
And then...
Who gives him money?
I don't... Well, the movie's still profit. Like, the movie's budget will be $50 million, and literally $45 million of those dollars is $5 million each to him and his 8 best friends, and the other $5 million is to pay the travel expenses to go to whatever exotic locale he sets the film in, so they can just have a vacation together and get paid.
I could do
and
this.
And then the movie
I can
makes...
write movies.
It's literally a... embezzlement scheme. Like, it's literally a scheme. So it costs $50 million that he just pockets and nothing goes to quality of the film, and then America pays $80 million in tickets, so the movie technically profited, so they do it again.
Yeah.
And again. And again. And they're all terrible.
Yeah.
I wonder what the cobbler was like.
Oh,
my
God.
I always see that advertised.
Holy shit. Have you heard about it?
No. Does a black guy come in? He starts making Air Jordans
or something?
So
here's some great stuff. No. Do you know the plot line of the cobbler?
No. It looks like Adam Sandler trying to make shoes.
His dad had a shoe shop, and then his dad disappears. So Adam Sandler takes over the shoe shop. Turns out it's a magical shoe shop where if he puts on the shoes of the customer, he physically transforms into that customer so he can experience life as that person. Okay, fine. There's your weird setup. We can learn about ourselves as humans in a decent film. So he does such things as attempt to rape a woman.
Okay.
What? Like he goes to the man's house when the man's like away because he's got the guy's shoes. So he puts on the shoes so he looks like the guy. Remember, Adam Sandler's the good guy in this film. He's the protagonist. Sure. So he puts on the shoes because this guy's wife's hot. He goes to the wife's home. She's taking a shower. The only reason that Adam Sandler does not violate this woman physically, again, rape her, there's no other word for what he's trying to do, is basically he can't figure out a way to do it because he can't take his shoes off. If he could wear the shoes in the shower, he would have just raped that woman. Hooray, comedy!
Yeah, that's super funny if you're a Neanderthal.
It's hilarious that she was hot and he almost raped her.
Yep. What? I'm laughing so hard right now.
Like, holy shit!
Yeah.
And then it turns out that Steve Buscemi, who's his best friend in the whole movie, that's his dad wearing Steve Buscemi shoes, and he's just been hiding from his wife and kid for, like, a decade for no reason. So then Adam Sandler puts on his dad's shoes to take on dad form and goes has a romantic dinner with his own mom.
That is a little weird.
The end.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll watch it.
Like, you're not gonna watch it?
I don't think so.
We should watch it.
Like, holy fuck. No, thank you. Like, okay, I get it. Women are beautiful. And you're like, that guy's wife's very attractive. But then when you're writing and then he decides he's going to rape the shit out of this woman, you'd go, let's not actually make this movie. And then you shred it and then you kill yourself.
That's probably not what they wrote down. They probably wrote it down like, oh, wacky hijinks. I had sex.
I mean, I guess, like, Revenge of the Nerds and 16 Candles, the main good people totally rape women. But, God damn it. It's okay, he was wearing a mask, so she thought that he was her boyfriend. So it's not really rape.
It's all right. I totally get it. I'm used to people telling me what is and isn't rape. I understand.
You're used to privileged white men telling you what's rape.
Yep.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
No, I wouldn't, Missy, sit down
and let me explain to you.
Yep.
It's... God damn it. If only he could have figured out a way to fuck her without taking his shoes off.
Could have worn sandals, right?
But her husband would have had to... He would have had sandals.
Yeah. You can just go find a pair. No problem.
I guess at least Zohan was just casual racism.
Zohan is... It tries very hard to be like Zoolander. To be like just... off the wall.
Yeah, but Zoolander wasn't in blackface.
Correct. Correct. So good.
No, but I mean that's what good. It was trying to be. It was trying to be like that's just odd, quirky thing. And to Adam Sandler dressing and doing what he does is odd and quirky.
When's the last Adam Sandler movie where Deuce Bigelow wasn't wearing facial coloring makeup to pretend to be a different race?
I don't know. He was the best part of it.
Because he was Waterboy. Mexican and Ridiculous Six. Well, I guess Cajun doesn't count as a different race.
It's not a different
race. Okay, so that's not that. But he was Native American
He wasn't Cajun, though. He's just a stupid redneck, I thought.
Well, they were in Louisiana, so stupid rednecks. Yeah, I guess that is Cajun,
yep.
So he was Native American in that one where he's reading stories to his kids and they come true. He was... some Arabic race in Zohan. He's Mexican in Ridiculous Six. He was... literally yellow Chinese in I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Wasn't he also Chinese in...
Or maybe he was Indian in that and Chinese in something else?
He was Chinese in the one where he gets a fucking kid. What's his...
Oh, yeah. In Big Daddy.
Yeah, Big Daddy. I think he was Asian in that one.
Again, the one where
I can wipe my own ass, Amanda. I wipe my own ass.
Sometimes I wonder.
Where you bribe homeless people with food.
Somebody in chat mentioned that Rob Schneider is white in the Grown Ups movies, but that doesn't count because they are all literally playing themselves in the Grown Ups movies. Yeah, they don't even have characters.
Isn't it's he just married
them
to
going
like
on
a...
vacation, filming it, and then fucking the film-going audience.
Basically, yeah.
Because they managed to take their shoes off on this one. Yeah.
I don't think it's partially Native American. I thought Cajun people were...
Cajun people are French,
African-American,
and then there might be something else mixed in there.
It's a blend, right, of the French settlers, the African slaves.
But now we're getting into Creole people.
That's what they said. They said Creole, and that's where is Cajun a culture and Creole is a race? Like, where does that cross?
I feel like Creole might be more of a race, and Cajun is more of a culture.
I should make this mention for future ones that if we're ever reading chat, we should also read what they're saying in chat instead of just responding to what people say in chat, because then it's an odd...
That guy had a good point, though. Direction. The one up
Yeah.
Let's not read it, though. But that's a good one. Thank you, person.
Yeah. Changes our whole perspective on the situation.
They raised a really good point. You at home should read that as well.
Post the Twitch stream.
I don't think unless they've changed when you go back to watch a stream, the chat's gone.
After well, it depends you use it, on you lose how it. It's a setting, because I know PS4. When I first streamed on the PlayStation 4, I had it so I wanted to be able to see my whole TV.
Oh no! So, I'm saying when you go and rewatch it. So
right, and that's also what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So I had it so my whole TV. it's a different setting. You can set it so that the chat is actually part of the broadcast, which means that when you rewatch it, you will see it.
I understand.
Or you cannot set it that way. And I had it set wrong, and so I was reacting and responding. Mm-hmm. And then when I rewatched it later, you could just literally see none of the text. So I've changed that setting. And I know the PS4 is literally a box that just says, like, include chat in broadcast, but I don't know
how. No, I understand. I've streamed on the PS4 before, yeah. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, we export it out to YouTube anyway, so there is no chat.
Right. Yeah, so no chat for anybody.
And it's also
So that great point is lost to the ages.
We also put it out to audio podcast as well, so it doesn't resonate. Do people
actually listen to this?
Yes.
Yeah, and on purpose, too. They don't just blare it to people like Noriega who are trying to not to come out of their compound. He would have come out so fast if they just blared Crippled System at him. Oh, thank you.
Nathan gets to have one of his beers.
If you want this one, I'll give it to you. I'm sure Amanda will appreciate it.
Is that your beers or is that Nathan's?
It was his.
It was mine. Okay,
I just claimed it. You just thought he was drinking all of my beer like a shithead.
I was like, wow, Nathan seems to be really okay with this.
No, they were his. The joke was me claiming them by saying they were mine.
Okay.
So yeah, you could have one of his beers.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
So, even more. Thank you, Nathan. I'm proud of you.
I know. I figured that was like, as soon as you saw me go for number 5 in this podcast, you were like, God damn it, Brian. You alcoholic son of a bitch. It's fine. I can still
You
cook.
Have to clean the kitchen.
I got
to
so do the dishes.
Yeah.
Women is so good.
It was. So were the 4 that I drank previously. But
so that's 8 women?
8 women. Yep. 8 women in my mouth at once. Seriously, in my stomach though, at once. At
fucking least. Adam Sandler.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of him.
No.
I'm a fan of his earlier stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, some of it, I mean, maybe I was just 14 at the time, right?
Exactly, yeah.
No, honestly, no. I can still watch Billy Madison, and I can still watch Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, I'll still watch.
Like, pretty much movie 1, movie 2, movie 3.
We're literally just talking Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Mr. Deeds is not bad. Ish.
Waterboy, I think, is okay.
I think Waterboy
is really cutting it close.
It is cutting it close.
It's at the time when he decided that all of his films would have to have a character with a funny voice.
And Waterboy's stupid as shit, but it's at least still kind of fun stupid. And you feel like, I think Waterboy was... All of those movies are stupid as fuck, but they're putting effort into the stupidity instead of just being... and being stupid.
They also had that one lady from The Craft who's very attractive.
Yes, and it also had Jerry Reed. If you don't know who Jerry Reed is, you should watch some more Smokey and the Fucking Bandit.
I was thinking of Fonzie for a minute, but that's somebody else.
Speaking of Smokey and the Bandit and attractive people, man, Sally Field is still kicking it. Sally Field is a beautiful woman.
Yep.
She is one of the top 2 most attractive Aunt Mays.
Well, we saw a commercial while we were watching Hulu. Or watching Archer on Hulu, and Julia Roberts has aged extremely well. At least she's paid someone to make her age extremely well.
I have always thought that she was incredibly unattractive.
Well, I mean, whether she's attractive or not, but she's still aging extremely well.
That is true, I guess.
It looks like she is just like maybe a facelift away from Pretty Woman.
And it might just be because I follow different things on the internet, but I think there's a... You can think someone has aged well, and they can just be really killing it with the makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
She looks like Steven Tyler in drag.
There was a BuzzFeed or some kind of article out recently with this like 90-year-old woman who looks...
I think we broke Andy.
...relatively aged. I'm not even going to continue this story.
Am I wrong, Andy?
No.
The most awkward thing is he has an erection right now.
I'm trying to hide it.
She's got Muppet mouth. Like, I'm just like, your lips are wider than your head. Like, she looks like Terrence and Phillip. Like,
she's
hey, buddy.
I'm not a fan of Julia Roberts, and I'm actually not a fan of Richard Gere either. But I do like Pretty Woman.
I wish Pretty Woman had had the balls to end with the original ending, where it's just like at the end of it, he just kicks her out and drives away. Like, he just is driving the limo and goes, all right, weekend's out, and kicks her out into a gutter and drives away because she's just a junkie whore. And the movie just ends with her back to being a junkie whore.
That's good storytelling.
It's dark, but it's good storytelling.
I think the 80s needed some of that.
It's like
I don't think the 80s needed some of that.
That's like my
your ending to Lucy?
Two of my endings to Lucy.
Raylene watched Lucy yesterday, and it was still bad.
Yeah.
My ending for that was the whole movie was a goddamn fever dream of her dying in, after getting kicked in the stomach from the drugs.
Yep, that and the laundromat.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's
if you want, I would love to just edit Lucy and make the 2.5 changes that I think would make it one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. It just was so close, and it just just shit on itself.
The time traveling and then turning into a USB thumb drive.
So she gets like an overdose of some drug that starts to give her magic powers.
Oh, okay.
Which is fine, whatever. There's your MacGuffin. This shit's making her go magic. And then the mafia, the Yakuza wants the drug, so they're coming for her, and she has to fight them or whatever. So the explanation for why the drug is giving her magic powers is, did you, Amanda, know that a human only uses 10% of their brain?
Except that's not true.
No, it's totally true. It's totally science. True. So this drug is unlocking more of her brain, and so she's getting closer and closer to 100%, at which point...
There's another movie about that, too. That
yeah.
Sure, plenty of they're always about
stupid
that.
And wrong.
To be honest with you, Limitless is not that bad of a film.
Limitless, that's what I was looking
for. I did like that. It was better.
So just get rid of that, and just make it magic drugs. You don't need a why. You just need magic drugs.
Magic drugs are legit.
Because what's double stupid is... She not Samuel Jackson, Morgan Freeman, that's who it was. So Morgan Freeman's in the movie, and Morgan Freeman literally flawlessly predicts, he's like, well, at 60% brain capacity, you'll have telepathy. Sure enough, exactly at 60% brain capacity, she has telepathy. He's like, at 80%, you'll have telekinesis. She sure does right at 80%. It's like, I'm what the fuck?
We only use 10% of our brain, but we know what happens once we unlock.
Right. So it's the stupidest goddamn thing. So you just eliminate, you eliminate Morgan Freeman, and you eliminate the 10% of the brain to make it magic drugs. And then the climax is these bad guys are killing people and they're coming to kill her. And so what she does with her superpowers is she sits in a chair and she tries to be as pretentious as possible. And then once she reaches pretentiousness enough, she turns into a USB drive and the movie ends.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
She literally turns into a USB thumb drive.
Yeah, and then the movie ends.
Okay.
And then the
movie ends.
And like, so replace that with literally anything else. And then I like the movie.
I wanted two things to happen in there. It's basically the one where she gets kicked in the stomach and that because she's a mule for the drugs, and then and that's how the whole thing starts. I wanted a hard cut from that point.
Put drugs up your ass.
She was not a willing mule, by the way. She was like literally kidnapped and drugged, and then she woke up and it had been surgically implanted.
Okay, yeah.
She was, you know, this is a horror story, not I'm a mule and something went wrong.
I wanted a hard cut to her lying on the ground afterwards, frothing at the mouth, like the whole movie, all the physics things that she did, all the telekinesis, everything was just a fever dream.
And then she just dies.
That
and
also was just good storytelling.
Kind of like Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, that would be horrendous. The other thing I wanted to have happen.
That is good storytelling as well.
I love Pan's Labyrinth.
So the USB thumb drive contains all the knowledge of the world, of the universe. It has everything. So, I mean,
look at it. Because she reached 100%.
It's on like an 8-gig thumb drive.
Yeah. It's just super, super shiny. It looks like space. It has the universe in it.
Okay. Stars are twinkling.
Yeah, it looks very pretty. What I wanted to have happen is, like, at the end of the credits.
A rich text file that says, ha-ha.
Oops. At the end of the credits.
At the end of the credits, Morgan Freeman just folding his laundry and then realizing that it was in his pocket. Because isn't that what happens to all USB thumb drives?
Yeah, I think
they go right through the wash.
Yeah.
God, but
sometimes they still work, right?
Maybe.
I would have loved that movie if you just had any other ending and just cut out every Morgan Freeman and brain percentage based thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
love the visuals. The story was actually interesting. Yep. Ugh.
The idea, basically, she was taking the drugs and she was so, in a sense, high of it that her body itself was dissipating. So she needed a recharge. Dying.
It was killing her. And so it was this physical degradation and mental escalation that was fighting each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's not a bad movie. It just is annoying because it could have been a really, I would have loved it.
Yeah. It was at that point when we saw it, it was probably our favorite of the Pain Train films.
Hercules.
Well, no. We saw Lucy before Hercules.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hercules is by far the... Well, no, I like the... Out of all of our Pain Trains, I think the Interview is probably the favorite.
Oh, God, yes. God, yes.
Wasn't Lucy the one you got booted off YouTube for a little while? No, that was 300.
300 for the
fucking yeah. 300. Oh my god. Speaking of protagonist rape.
Yeah. God. That's that. Have you watched 300 Rise of an Empire?
That's the second one, right?
302.
Yeah. No.
You should watch it because it'll infuriate you and it will make a great talking subject.
I get so angry as it is.
Amanda can't watch any movie where there's like medievalish fighting.
Because it's so bad.
I love the shit out of that stuff. I'll eat it up. I
actually enjoy that stuff, but I'm...
You won't watch Vikings anymore.
So I'm going to be a little pretentious here. I went to school for English literature. Like, storytelling is something that is ingrained into
me. And the storytelling in Viking is amazing. And it
fucking pisses me off when it's stupid.
God. Let me ask you this.
Viking is not stupid.
I have a question for you, English literature person.
Sure.
What did you think of the animated Beowulf film?
That's the one with the CGI.
I enjoyed it a lot.
I thought it was really interesting. I liked that Grendel and the sea hag spoke in old English.
Yes.
That differentiated them from the more modern human talk, which made sense. I also thought it was interesting because in the original story, it's Beowulf meets Grendel, kills Grendel. Beowulf meets sea hag, kills sea hag. Unrelated to them, dragon shows up, Beowulf fights dragon.
Yeah, there's, well, it depends on the interpretation. The sea hag is Grendel's
mom.
Yeah, no, I've read Beowulf.
But the dragon is completely unrelated to those two monsters.
No.
Yes, it is.
No.
Because it's just...
I think you're misreading it. I'm pretty sure that...
Because a peasant just finds a cup and brings it to Beowulf, goes, look, I found this golden cup, and the dragon's like, that was mine, and then there's a fight, and they kill each other.
Yep, in the actual story there was no connection.
I'm confused because Grendel is a sea hag's child with the original king.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay. Somebody took medieval and English literature and
what they did in the
5 years ago.
You didn't take
it in with the me. Animated no, film. They tied them together because Grendel is the sea hag's son by the original king, and they made the dragon the sea hag's son by Beowulf. And so then there was poetry with Beowulf fighting the and that was good storytelling. I actually really thought it was well done.
I loved the Beowulf CGI movie. It was great.
I saw it in IMAX 3D. It was pretty cool.
I think I was actually a kid working in the movie theater still at the time.
I thought we were a unit.
No, I don't think so.
You were a eunuch?
Unit.
Yeah, Brian's a eunuch. I didn't
know. Well, I mean, after you've done to yours what I've done to mine, you'd end up the same way, too.
Fair enough.
I like the 13th Warrior. That's another retelling of Beowulf.
Yeah. With Antonio Banderas?
No, it's not. I'm thinking
13th
of The Last Samurai. Those are two very different movies.
I know. Yeah. The best samurai is a white guy, the best Indian's a white guy, and the best Arab is a Mexican.
But I don't know what it is. The reason why I like that film is that it's, you know, it has Antonio Banderas in it, but it has... All he is just the narrator. He's just the person observing the whole thing, and that's... That and the guy who played Bullvoy in that would have been the most perfect Thor ever.
Speaking of narrator, one of my favorite movies of ever is on Netflix, Blade Runner, but they have the shitty version with the like narration over the top.
Funny story, I thought that as well, and then it turns out every version has the narration over the top.
No.
Yeah, you can go watch the director's cut downstairs.
A cut of it that doesn't have the narration over the top, and it is fantastic.
Have you heard the story about the narration?
They didn't want it in the first place.
Not necessarily they, just Harrison Ford. So he purposely did it as bad as possible to encourage them to cut it, but they kept it, so it's just terrible narration.
It's so bad.
It is bad.
So bad.
Also, not a replicant. Fuck you.
I'm not sure.
He totally is.
Oh, no.
No, he's totally not a replicant.
Zappity this right now.
He's totally not a replicant.
I'm not sure I...
Also, he totally raped somebody.
Read the fucking book.
Oh, my God. Speaking of 80s movies where the protagonist rapes a woman.
I'm not sure I like Blade Runner as much.
Why? Because he rapes a woman or because of the narration or just in general?
I liked the setting of the movie. It was really cool.
I fucking love Blade Runner.
It's kind of weird. I think they both came out around the same time. I'll have to fact check myself later on. But there's another movie I think came around the same time that I like almost more, and that's Runaway.
I thought you were going to say Cherry 2000, which is a superior movie.
No.
Cherry 2000.
No. It's a good movie, but I won't say it's superior.
Superior.
Have you seen
Blade Runner? Is...
No, but I've seen Cherry 2000.
It's a futuristic cop movie.
So it's literally like right up my alley.
Kind of. Well, it's got Gene Simmons as the main villain.
Oh, man.
But I mean, no, but he actually...
something we need to watch. Well,
did you see Space Cop? Speaking of futuristic cop movies.
You haven't seen Space
Cop.
No,
I haven't.
I wouldn't mind sitting on it again. It might be better the second time.
Because I'll know which 30 minutes are boring and which 10 minutes are amazing.
Yeah.
So I'll know when to take a nap.
But no, Runaway is actually... It is Gene Simmons playing the main villain, but it's... He's playing... It's good. I mean, he's actually acting through it.
Am I thinking of a different... I'm thinking of a different movie, I think, but I thought Emilio Estevez is coming to my mind. Isn't that like Jack Reacher?
Oh, that's Men at Work.
Oh, that's... Yeah, that's one of the best movies of our time, but...
Obviously.
Golf club?
The Nixon mask on the corpse. Good time. I think
God,
Blade Runner...
I haven't seen that in a long time, either.
Blade Runner is... directorially and cinematography wise, like a flawless film. It's a beautiful film. The shots are amazing. The emotions are amazing. There are weaknesses in it that are unfortunate, like the narration.
I will give you the story.
You know, has some weaknesses, character motivations. You know, it feels like there's a lot that was on the cutting room floor, but it's definitely a classic.
I will give you that.
Yeah.
It's completely different than the book.
I think it doesn't. Blade Runner basically defines the whole cyberpunk genre as far as movies are concerned, if I had to say so.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's what set forth basically every anime film that you've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. How, when comparatively speaking, is. Well.
Neo Tokyo is.
Yeah, I'm saying Neo Tokyo. Yeah, but the manga of Akira, when did that come out? Like, I'm wondering when Akira came out versus...
I feel like that might be too close.
Yeah, I don't know. Because
I think Blade Runner's first.
Blade Runner the film was before Akira the film. I'm 99% sure that's true. But when did the manga of Akira come out? And then, you know, but...
82.
82 was the manga?
End of December, 82. But Blade Runner is based on Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Which that book obviously was way earlier, but the visuals.
Blade Runner is apparently 82 as well.
Yeah, so that's pretty.
That's an interesting coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because visually they're both very similar.
Very similar, yep.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's. I mean, just going from.
Good.
Nathan,
I haven't seen it in a really long time. I don't think you've ever seen it.
I've watched Blade Runner a bazillion
Akira.
Times.
Oh, Akira. No,
I haven't.
Yeah.
You really should.
To. Oh, my God.
At least once.
Like my
only if we can finish watching that Bible show where David kills shit.
I don't know what that means.
It was so boring.
It was so good.
A Bible show?
It was basically like taking the visceral shows that are on, like Game of Thrones, Vikings, and etc., and put it in the theme of like Bible times.
By the way, and I'm stealing this from a Cracked article, but Goliath was totally the underdog in that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like David had a significant tactical advantage.
Well, yeah, he could just stay.
It's like, sure, you know who wins in a fight? I mean, ignoring the fact that he's dead, but do you know who wins in a fight between Andre the Giant with a stick and me with a gun?
Exactly.
I have a fucking gun. Who cares that he's tall? I just shot him in his face.
Yep.
Like, that was a rigged fight.
It was.
But it's all about the storytelling.
Right?
We should get you on to some movie Pain Drains.
Oh, probably.
You and I can have artsy-fartsy discussions about it.
I'm really good at this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, that would probably be good.
But I know, I want to tell you this about the 302 before.
302?
The 302.
Oh, yeah. My God, there's so many awesome things about that film.
This is in keeping with previous discussions.
Are you bringing up the antagonist?
Yes, I'm bringing that up.
Okay.
So there is a character who, when she was 5 or so years old, a kingdom, their army came, murdered her entire family, then raped her for a decade. They just kept her with their army, and then they just took turns just raping her for like a decade.
Okay.
And then another kingdom, rescued her from this and mm-hmm. pulled her out of that and rescued her and then raised her to be a strong warrior. Mm-hmm. And now she's seeking vengeance against the kingdom that murdered her family and kept her as a sex slave from the time she was 5 till the time she was 15.
Okay.
Which of those two kingdoms do you think we're supposed to root for?
Really?
The Greeks are the ones who have been raping her for a decade, and the Persians are the ones that rescued her, and they're the bad guys.
Yeah.
Because Xerxes is a mean guy. Hooray for Greece.
Okay.
Xerxes does want to take over the world, though. I mean, that's...
Yeah, yeah. From the rapists. Yeah. Like, he's got literature and the concept of mathematics, and they've got, we punch each other a lot and rape people. Like, I'm in favor of him conquering them.
Yeah.
Like, and there's no, like, I'm not twisting it. There's no, like, well, if you look at it this way, that's literally factually how it's spelled out. And I know this is, like, the 10th episode I've brought this up, but it's so horrific and ununderstandable to me that I just can't fathom that the filmmakers unironically put that in there as her motivation and thought we would root against her.
I mean, to be fair, if it's based on any kind of factual anything,
nope.
They're probably like, well, she's been raped, so she's obviously got some kind of connection with them.
Here's what it's based on. It's based on a half-finished series by Frank Miller. Frank Miller wasn't even done writing the whole series of Xerxes, which is basically about him. They just said, oh, you're making a sequel to 300? Well, let's make a sequel to 300. And they just put it out, which has nothing to do with Frank Miller's sequel to 300.
And it's so, like, I don't know how his turned out, but it's so disjointed. It's almost like he was halfway through making cookies, and they're like, oh, you're making something? And they stole the dough and tried to make a quiche out of it.
It's kind of it's pretty much it. I'm not even sure if 300 the his version of 302 is actually done yet, which is just really sad.
Just call it 300 and 2 because I just
that's just 302. It's like Final Fantasy 10-2.
Yeah, they called for reinforcements. Two dudes show up.
302. They're their archers.
You do know at least that 300 is not factually based, right?
No. Well, kind of is.
Well,
Thermopylae was a thing. There's the end of your facts.
It's factually based on his interpretation of a movie that he saw as a child that was about the 300 at Thermopylae.
Oh, I think there's a lot of those stories that are not very factual.
But the best part is everyone talking about how that's... It was like, I don't like 300. It's not factually accurate. It's like, well, this is a grown man's childhood memory of a movie that was not factually correct.
It's not a bad movie.
I just didn't like 300 because I hated everyone in it. Like, and the stupid...
What?
Well, like, okay, King Sexy
King
Pants.
Leonidas.
Whatever his name. Yeah, Leonidas.
Okay. How do you not love Jerry Butler? What's wrong with you? Craig Ferguson loves Jerry Butler. Why don't you?
The cripple guy comes up to him and is like, I want to be a warrior.
Yep.
What you say is, okay, you're in front, and then that guy dies and you're over and it's all fine.
Yep.
But okay, you're not going to do that. The reason he rejects the hunchback is like, well, you can't fight with us because we always fight side by side, spear in hand, shields up as a phalanx, get out. The very next fucking scene is those people running in 30 different directions to do kung fu backflips one-on-one against 30 different enemies.
Mm-hmm. You fight with a phalanx against many foes, but if you're just taking on a couple foes, that's okay to break rank.
Okay, so do that with the cripple. Let him break ranks all day long.
It is a flaw in that film, basically. His
Operation
his
get
character's
behind the
betrayal is, you know, a flaw in that film.
You are a horrible human.
It's all right.
We should get to Zappity Grumbles.
Do we have Zappity Grumbles?
We're definitely like a
probably
half
got
or
like
more.
Two. I'm sure
if there's
Chris
any in
Green
chat, we can
like
respond to them without reading the question because that's what Andy likes. And people can insert the question.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Tom Select as a non-cowboy hero. Sounds good.
Oh, no, Tom Selleck. He was, that's basically him talking about,
Was he in Runaway?
That's Tom Selleck in Runaway.
Was Runaway by Slade the theme song to Runaway, the movie?
No.
Because I like that song.
See, Chameleon, lying there in the storm. All things
hey, stop
everyone.
It. Stop it.
So we don't get the content I need.
Oh, yeah. They'll pull that down.
If you like, only the music nerds will get this. But there's a video on YouTube that is a performance of the piano piece 433. And it actually has the copyrighted music warning on it and is muted because it has 433. Music nerds will understand that reference. The rest of you can Google it later.
Okay.
It's fucking hilarious if you know the song 433.
So,
Somebody's
my phone is on super silent.
I know. Mine normally is either on super silent or on my crotch. And
Brian yells at me because I keep my phone on silent and I don't answer
it. Just wait. When I get in a car accident and with my dying breath, the last thing I want to do is call my Amanda. I'm going to dial it and it's going to go straight to voicemail. And you'll never know the last thing I wanted to say to you with my dying breath.
So you're not going to leave a message?
I never
No, because she won't fucking listen to it.
Yeah. You won't even listen to the voicemail?
For 2 years, she'd never even set up her voicemail.
It was like 6 months.
That's like 2 years.
Yeah, it is.
It's half a year, and if you flip that fraction, that's 2/1.
Yep.
Illuminati confirmed. Half-Life 3.
All right, so Carnage seemed nonplussed by Shut Up and Sit Down, a previous cast. What's the beef? I don't know.
What's that?
Brian's not here.
Yeah.
Brian seemed nonplussed.
Unhappy with.
Is that what nonplussed means?
Yeah, basically.
I'm a fucking old man.
That's...
Nah, that's if you were a super... Term. If you it's were not a super old
term.
Man.
That's like a term from, like, Shakespearean era. Like, yeah. That's an old term.
Oh, okay. Well, then... Okay.
Then you're not learned.
I'm not learned, then. I'm a stupid old man.
You're a simpleton.
Yeah. Derp, derp, derp. Thoughts on Tom Vassell?
Tom Vassell?
Don't know V-A-S-E-L.
I know Tom Vassell.
Who's Tom Vassell?
I know. Fuck.
Hang on. Let me Google that
real quick. No, I'm going to hate myself.
The best podcast
ever. Oh, no. He's he does board game reviews. I don't know if there's some drama about him that makes me that I should hate him, but his board game reviews are interesting, and I usually agree with his stance. If it turns out he's like a super racist and I miss drama, that's bad. But if you're just asking about his reviews...
Oh, he's the board game geek guy.
Yeah, he's the board game geek guy. His reviews are always very helpful.
Yeah, he's a pretty legit dude. Like, he's a little... Yeah, he's a little eccentric.
Oh, that's Dice Tower Games?
Yeah, the nasally dude with the mustache.
He does video board game reviews for the internet. Of course he's eccentric.
Well, I mean, like, yeah. At any rate,
no well-adjusted human being has a neckbeard and does video board game reviews for the internet.
He's a fine gentleman, and the two bald guys he stands with. Whenever I want an opinion on a board game, I will go to them for like my first initial reaction to it because I trust their opinion.
Oh, that's right. Brian hates the Shut Up and Sit Down guys. They also do video reviews like Tom Vassell, and Brian just thinks they're awful.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard of them.
He showed me like the first 10 minutes of their they hate anything that isn't a worker placement Euro game, and they just have this blind rant, and they obviously like don't know what they're talking about a lot of times because their hatred blinds them of things. Like in the review of Star Wars Rebellion, they're like, oh, this is really neat, look, it has two rule books in it, it has like the full rule book and then it has like the quick access rule book, and they're like, isn't that neat that they have this new thing? And it's like every Fantasy Flight game has had that for like a decade, and that just shows that these people just don't even fucking look at the things they review.
Sure.
And so he just hates them because of stuff like that.
The quick rule book is to get you acclimated to the game right away.
Also, they're British, so they're like subhuman anyway.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't count.
Yeah.
Zavity.
Grumble.
Doppler Bark Animus. Too good for Circle to keep
leaks.
To itself.
Leaks. No, that's NQ. Is that really a leak, though?
Well, the NQ ain't out yet.
I guess
so. So it's not a leak a week from now. It seems really good.
Vendor.
But, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, newbie. Bastard.
Yeah, that's a leak thing.
Yeah, leak. I should just go and delete his post.
Yeah, take that, newbie.
Yeah, zap it.
You're worse than
My
bad
phone's
things.
Not working. I can't delete it. I tapped it multiple times. It did not work.
I recommend Brazil.
The country?
No.
just yes, the country. I like
no,
the Zika virus.
I really don't fucking recommend the country
at
all.
Yeah, Zika virus
all.
Is fucking
the
scary as
terrible.
Hell.
They require everyone vote in the country, though.
That's also terrible.
Yeah.
It probably is. Their women are attractive.
I would require everybody to
are
pass
sure
a
women?
Quiz proving...
I really don't care if they look that good.
But no,
better civics education before everyone can vote.
Yeah, like a quiz like that you have to prove you have some basic knowledge of the candidates and their stances. And
are
then
you
if
going
you pass
to vote
it,
for
you're allowed
anyone
to vote.
But the president? Or in addition to the president? Like, do you have a...
Not even that. Just like, you know, which nominee wants to build a wall? Which nominee this, that? And if you can pass it, then you're allowed to vote. But if you're like, I don't know, but I check R because I was told to my grandpappy. But you fuck off.
They don't have that in the U.S. here, though.
Or you vote for
right, Dick Bag and that's, McTitties. Yeah, I'm saying that'd be good. What, titties? Who has titties?
Dick Bag McTitties is a candidate, right?
The issue with that is illiteracy.
Yeah,
test taking. There's a lot of problems that come from that.
Well, then maybe what you can have do is some kind of a tax at the poll. That'd be fair. No, so anyway, Brazil, the movie. Because we were talking about artsy fartsy movies. It is, yeah. It's
a wonderful film.
Or in general, Terry Gilliam. Terry Gilliam is a goddamn master. If you don't watch David Lynch, you fuckers. Watch Terry Gilliam instead. If you want confusing but artistic and symbolic, David Lynch is a hack who just masturbates and then shits out some terribleness and you think it's artsy fartsy.
Mulholland Drive is
amazing. Terrible movie.
It's a terrible movie. It's like backwards talking, dancing Czechoslovakian midgets are not artsy or deep. They're stupid.
One of us.
But Robert De Niro literally being devoured by paperwork
is fantastic. Have you ever seen it?
The DVD of Brazil has four different versions. You talking about director's cut and us talking about artsy films remind me of this, but Brazil is a fucking masterpiece. Everyone should watch Brazil. Just Terry Gilliam in general is amazing. Freaking Adventures of Baron Munchausen is great. Bandits, 12 Monkeys. I will say,
yep, all good.
I mean, only Terry Gilliam, the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, his main character died halfway through filming, and he's like, I'm Terry Gilliam, fuck it. So he got four other people to also play the main character and just jumps between actors randomly during the film, and it fucking works. Like, that's how brilliant he is.
All so good movies.
Yeah. That's my recommendation. Terry Gilliam in general, Brazil in specific.
That's a good recommendation.
I kind of have a two-parter for my recommendation.
Oh my god.
It's all right. Number one, Marvel Universe, the miniatures game. It's not something that you would delve into as a mini game. I think it's more Chris Green kind of, I echo his suggestion. It's more of like a board game you pull out once in a while to screw around with because you get like little cool Marvel minis.
Could you enunciate more? It's hard to hear you with Chris Green's dick in your mouth.
I don't know. No, because it's one good turn deserves another, right?
Even more.
Like yeah. He gave me an amazing blowy for wanting to plug this game, so I have to give it back in return. The other one that isn't blowing anybody is the Tectonic Craft Studios. Like I never really cared too much for MDF terrain or the stuff you pop out put together. It just never hit any chords with me, never look cool or anything, but this guy does an amazing job. And I was surprised with the stupid box I made a crate and it looks awesome, and now I have a bunker and a crane and all this other cool stuff. The guy just does superb work. And he's also an engineer from what I gather. An architect. And he builds all of his buildings from the ground up instead of just like, here is box, let's make box look like bunker. And it translates extremely well. If you have any desire to pick up terrain, I would say that he's definitely the first one you should check out.
I'll back that as well. His thought process that he goes through to make those terrain pieces, I was able to figure it out and see, like, and basically decipher what he was trying to think of. It's amazing. Like, his buildings are, like, four layers thick to show detail. So he has some struts that are going up on the side instead of like most places will just put just a strut there. No, it's got three layers to it. He's got holes in the wall.
Like the objectives that were like rock piles where you literally like punched out the layers and stacked them. Yeah, those were really cool.
He has like little spin down ones too. And
The crane is super cool because it works. Crane.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I had no instructions on how to put this fucking crane together because he hasn't updated his website for fucking ever. So I had to try and figure it out on my own. And I was able to do so just based on, like, kind of having an idea of what it was supposed to look like. The bunker is going to be the weird one. I have some pictures of it on my phone just by happenstance because we used them during a Marvel game that we played. But I'm excited to see how I build that one with just having the picture as a reference.
Yeah. Yeah, I assembled the he had a 40K terrain building.
Like a ruin or something?
Like a ruin. In fact, the pictures that Isaiah posted up online, those were from my assembly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really cool. It's really hyper detailed for basically a wood cutting. You wouldn't have expected out of that. They're also durable as mm-hmm. compared to a lot of the MDF terrain that I've seen.
Well, that's like my stupid crate that I put together and painted now. I feel like I could brain somebody with it and it would still be intact.
Correct.
And the other thing too, like as a person who enjoys painting, his terrain is actually interesting to paint. Like it's not just something that's like, I'm going to put some colors on it, highlight some shit here, maybe dry brush it, it's on the table. There's actual detail and things that can come out that make it stand above the rest of what the industry really has.
Yep. And it's, you know, pretty cost effective. His terrain trays are actually really, not terrain trays, but
the movement trays.
His movement trays for tournaments are really solid.
They also have some interesting function to them too. Like I saw one where like the top is like a dice rolling tray, but underneath is where you pull out this thing and then that's where all your little X-Wing widgets go.
Oh, yep, yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of unique utilitarianism to what he does. I think the guy's brilliant.
Yeah, the dice rolling tray that he got or that he has was really cool. That's got the lift up and pull out to where it's got a whole drawer, everything underneath. Mm-hmm. I assembled so many of those. But yeah, no, his stuff's awesome.
So those are my recommendations. Miss Amanda.
Come play Overwatch with me.
No. Battleborn.
Nope.
Can't.
Yes,
I can't. I can't play.
Why not?
Because it's not out yet.
Well, obviously next Tuesday.
You're not my friend.
I'm pretty sure we're friends.
She's my friend.
You're not my friend. Thing is, I play on PC, though.
Oh, what a nerd.
Because that's where all my other friends play.
Well, your friends are nerds.
Yeah, so?
Just saying.
Thanks for insulting all my friends.
You're welcome. Okay. No, yeah, after I dicked around with the beta, decided to pick it up.
Yep, the beta was out, and then life as I know it ended.
Yeah, it was pretty depressing. I'm really glad they extended it. We did some really stupid shit the last night that we could play. Full team of Hanzos. It's a really great time.
A full team of Mercy.
Is not a really great time.
A full team of Junkrat was fucking amazing.
Yeah, full team of Junkrat is actually fairly successful.
How about a full team of Bastions?
That's is stupid.
No one should do that. That's the worst thing. If you have a conscience whatsoever, you should not do that.
We did run into one of those teams, though, and by the end of it, we had got four of us to go on Genji, and it just wasn't a problem.
It's because he counters. Like, I mean, that's really what the game is. Mm-hmm. But we did a full team of Mei, too, and that was...
Ice walls for days.
So if you want shenanigans on Overwatch, play with me on PS4.
I was going to say, I didn't... through all the times that I went through it, we never ran into people playing like a full team of shenanigans. Oh, yeah.
I don't think that it was... a really common thing because I've only seen like a couple.
It's hard
like,
to coordinate. What was stuff. It? Five people, six,
six people.
We,
I mean, it was questionable if we were going to have Brandon.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So not to shoehorn a reference and do it again, but it's topical right now. One funny thing in Battleborn is that no, that's topical to what you're saying. Is that when you start a match or start the versus the PvE, mm-hmm. it does like an opening credit sequence where it's like, and starring Asphyxius, cause that's my handle, as, you know, Oscar Mike, whoever I'm playing or whatever, and it goes through all the people. And if multiple people are playing the same character, the game gets more and more sarcastic about it. Because you're just being uncreative shithead. So if you have a team of like five of the same person, by the end of it, the game is just openly yelling at you and belittling you for being uncreative and picking the same character. That's kind of funny.
Time. Otherwise, super cool thing. You can buy a body bag on Amazon.
You can buy a what?
A body bag on Amazon.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
It's like a sleeping bag, mm-hmm. more secure.
So if anyone's looking for one, you can find them on Amazon.
You can buy anything on Amazon.
Yes, you can.
I'd rather buy the Tauntaun sleeping bag.
It's, yeah.
Seems good. You know what they should do? They should honestly make the Tauntaun. I've seen the
Wampa ice scraper.
Yeah, I've seen the Tauntaun sleeping bag. But what they should do is they should make it so it has a horrible smell when you open it.
I don't think they should.
I think it would be great.
Okay, you go ahead and get a bed that smells terrible.
It would be like a sad moo when you unzip it would be at least comical.
That's, yeah. But I will say, though, it is sad that Battleborn is released about the same time, in a sense, as Overwatch. Mm-hmm. They are two completely goddamn different games.
Nothing alike.
They're
both first-person shooters. They both have first-person shooters,
and they have multiple characters, and they share a very similar cartoony style.
Isn't Battleborn
the gameplay is incredibly different.
Isn't Battleborn the gist, like, you're criminals?
No.
No, or is that a different Battleborn is...
a Penny Arcade comic about Battleborn where they referred to it as Battle Stillborn.
Sure. But, okay. No, Battleborn is more of a... It's basically Borderlands.
Well, Battleborn has raids against the game where you fight bosses and enemies in a plot situation. And it has MOBA where you have lane pushing.
Sure.
And Overwatch has arena combat a la Team Fortress. Yeah. So the actual gameplay, like, yeah, they're first person with things, but the actual what you get out of them, they're not directly competitive. Like the analogy I said before, it's not Coke Pepsi, it's Coke 7-Up. You know, like they're not even the same flavor. Yeah, they're both sodas, but...
They're completely different, and it's sad that in a sense
Overwatch is going to crush Battleborn.
Correct.
But I think enough people play Battleborn, it's not going to die. It's just going to be, you know, a billion people play Overwatch and a million people play Battleborn, and that's fine. Battleborn will just limp along with a million people, and it'll do its own thing. It just, you know, whatever.
Until we get Borderlands 3.
Until we get Borderlands 3.
Yeah. But you don't have a PC that can run Overwatch?
I probably do.
But she plays it on the PlayStation.
Yeah, I spend all day at a computer at work, so I just prefer to play on a console.
Sure, makes sense. I generally like my Blizzard games on PC.
I actually prefer FPSs with a controller over keyboard and mouse, just because I'm a savage and because I grew up playing, you know, on my PlayStation. I always had shitty computers. So mm-hmm. I graduated from GoldenEye, like we all did, mm-hmm. into I had a PlayStation, so I played things like Red Faction and whatnot, and so I'm just used to playing shooters on, like, the double stick is more convenient for me than keyboard and mouse.
Like,
it's just what I'm used to.
Yeah.
I like the good old double stick.
Yeah, I was raised in a family of console gamers. I don't think we did the only thing I ever did with a PC when I was a kid was like IRC chats or something like that.
We're running almost 2 hours here, so let me get through my recommendation quick.
Really quick, though, before you do that, somebody in the chat said Camacho for president, and I'm going to say unironically, and I may have said this before on air, I've said it before many times, Camacho, the president from Idiocracy, is the most competent and capable president in cinematic history. Zero sarcasm. He saw a problem. He admitted there was a problem. He admitted that he himself was not smart enough to solve that problem. He found the most capable person out there who he knew could solve the problem. He put that person on the problem, gave them infinite resources to solve the problem, and the problem got fucking solved. That is the best president in cinematic history.
I won't disagree. Yep. It's also a fantastic movie.
Totes agree.
Anyway, go on with your recommendation. It was there.
I forgot what my recommendation was going to be.
Was it Amazon? Don't open a Games Workshop store in Fitchburg, because fuck you, we already have great game stores.
That is the Games Workshop motto, though.
I to be honest with you, it is the argument there. I know your hatred of Games Workshop, but the argument there would have also been the same thing as when I'm Bored opened up over in Middleton.
No,
it's a new game store that's opening up and has competitive materials.
I think that's different because I'm Bored isn't Fantasy Flight Games opening up a game store that only sells Fantasy Flight games a mile away from a game store that already exists.
Well, so when you look at the way that
Games Workshop already sells their shit in Pegasus and Misty.
Yeah.
The one thing I have for it is it's not like down the street.
It is a little further away.
It's within 20 minutes to a half hour of the other game stores in town, to a place that's
its location is not egregious. I never understood the concept of Games Workshop stores opening where there's already game stores
nearby,
because they if you're gonna buy 40K, you can just buy it at your local game store.
Correct.
You know, I understand Games Workshop being like, well, nobody lives in town X, but there's a market there, so we'll open a store there. Sure, I get that. I just don't get crushing a place that trying.
That's the Games Workshop motto.
I know, but I just don't get the logic of competing with somebody who's already giving you money to sell you their product.
You don't have to deal with any sort of.
I know.
The wholesale thing.
As what Casey had said too over in Minnesota, that is that they had opened up. They had opened up a Games Workshop store over there, and it just failed after 2 years.
Yeah, I can't imagine it'll stick around for a long time.
I mean, we have a very established crew that plays 40K at Pegasus and MSD. So I mean, it's whatever. I mean, they're probably not going to have game space there. I'll go check it out to see what kind of game space they have there, but I doubt they're going to be able to support. Yeah. What our local game stores can normally support.
Like I said, even if I played GW games still, I would still buy them from...
Correct. From the local stores. I mean, that's...
And I encourage people to do the same.
Yep.
All right, remember your recommendation yet?
My recommendation was by Joseph, 1313, that says, watch Idiocracy. Watch it. It's good.
That wasn't your recommendation, you liar.
That's Andy's recommendation was go to MuezonCon next year, MomCon next year.
MomCon. Yep.
Don't enter anything to the Pinkin contest, because you know I'll just win it.
That's true. Andy would like to announce the best in show of next year's MomCon.
No!
Andy Welton with his, your model here.
All right, we're done now.